Thank you for joining me again today on this, the final day in the month of July. The summertime is flying by, as time does, and I am grateful that we can dive down together again into the book of John today. Let's go swimming, as it were, a cool, refreshing dip in the waters of life on a hot summer's day. The Bible will refresh us like no other book we can ever read. And yesterday we saw that the confidence of Peter and John as being molded and sculpted by Jesus himself in his resurrection appearance in John chapter 20 is having a lifelong effect on the disciples. And we return there today, picking up the story in verse 19. I'll reread what we read last time for context. This is John chapter 20, verses 19 through 22. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when Jesus had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Here's a refresher on what we learned. Peter and John are among the disciples who met the Lord, and their confidence is being greatly enhanced by Jesus standing in their midst, by seeing Jesus' hands and side, and by hearing Jesus say, "Peace be with you," and, "As the Father has sent me, I also send you." By having Jesus breathe on them with the pledge of the Holy Spirit, as Jesus reminds them of their mission first given all the way back at the beginning of Matthew 4. It's events like these that make Peter and John confident and make us confident too. We're just like them, disciples, learners, followers, and slaves of Christ. And his message to them, his appearance to them, is his message and appearance to us today. And today I want to say more about verse 22. Let me read that to get it front and center on your minds. And when Jesus had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." What the Lord is doing is to begin to fulfill a promise he has made to them. Jesus is going to ascend. He's going up to heaven. But as he does, the Holy Spirit is going to come and live in the disciples' lives. Now be careful in how you interpret what Jesus does here. He simply breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." But as we know, and we keep reading, the Spirit himself does not actually come until 40 days later in Acts chapter 1. So what is this then? Well, I agree with theologians who say this serves as more like a pledge from Jesus to the disciples that indeed the Spirit is coming just as soon as Jesus returns to heaven. And here's what I want you to see. This is another confidence builder for Peter and John. Jesus is not just going to abandon them. Yes, it's true that Jesus will physically ascend, going up to heaven, but that does not mean that his presence leaves them. This is, of course, completely untrue of all other people. Each of us can only be in one place at one time. If you think otherwise, then you are delusional. And here I have to remind some of you that superheroes do not really exist. That's just for the movies. But Jesus, being God, has the capacity to be everywhere at once. And here we are reintroduced to the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. We worship the triune God, the three-in-one God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, so that the assurance of the coming of the Holy Spirit here is meant to both comfort and give confidence to Jesus' apostles. While Jesus leaves them, it's only in the physical sense. He remains very much with them through the presence of the Holy Spirit, who is God. Once again, the same is true for us. Jesus is not physically, bodily present with you today. Me neither. But as Christians, we live and breathe and make our way through the day with the presence of God living within us. The Spirit is in us. He is not outside of us, but rather inside all true believers. That is the pledge Jesus makes at this point in the encounter with the disciples, including, of course, Peter and John. The Spirit is coming. And this is why I want to read into the book of Acts later this week to actually see what happens when Peter and John are full of the Holy Spirit. But I do not want to skip over John chapter 20 to do that. Instead, I prefer to follow the order of the text. And so keep this in mind, please, and return with me now to John chapter 20 and verse 30. Verses 30 and 31 of John 20 are very important because this is John writing. And John, along with Peter, is the focus of our study on confidence. Let me read John chapter 20, verses 30 through 31. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that, believing, you may have life in his name. Do you know what we have here? This is the mission statement of the Gospel of John. Or I can put it to you this way. This is why John wrote this book. This is his purpose in writing. And I invite you to notice a couple of things about this statement, and I will apply this to confidence. First, John tells us that Jesus did more than is contained or more that is written about by John. So that when you add up everything John has written, it still does not include the full length and depth of Jesus' ministry. John echoes this in the very last verse of his 21 chapters. Listen now to John chapter 21 and verse 25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which, if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books that would be written. What's John saying? There is a lot more to what Jesus did in the presence of both himself and Peter, as well as the other disciples. John has selected for us only a portion of the earthly ministry of Christ. He did what all good authors do. They edit, highlighting for the reader what is essential. Surely the Holy Spirit was the ultimate editor, giving us exactly what God intended for us to know. And remember that John is one of four Gospels included in our Bibles. So it is easy to become overwhelmed with reading about Jesus' fruitful years in ministry, but we have to remember that we're still not getting all of it. John is confident that there is more to be told. But listen again to chapter 21 and verse 25. Even the world itself would not contain the books that would be written. How about that? And now back to John chapter 20 and verse 31, and my second insight. The reason John wrote was so that you and I, and everyone who reads this gospel, may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Clearly, John believed Jesus, and now John invites the whole world to believe Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. And that word believe is key. Circle it if you have your Bible there, or circle it when you get to the text later. Believe. John uses it here twice. In a minute, we'll see it used as believing. It took John himself time to believe everything that Jesus invited him to believe. Remember that. For example, earlier we saw John come to the empty tomb, and chapter 20 and verse 8 says that when John went into the empty tomb, he, quote, saw and believed, unquote. I think John is sensitive to this when he writes his gospel. He knows that not everyone will believe him, his witness testimony, at the first reading. But still, he writes with the prayerful intention that these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He invites you to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and he gives you ample evidence to believe this great truth. And again, I think this takes confidence. He is confident that when he presents to his readers the evidence for Christ's deity, that is, Jesus is God, that the Holy Spirit will get a hold of the human heart and drag us to God. And he was right. Throughout the course of history, the Holy Spirit has used the gospel according to John in tremendous ways to introduce Jesus to skeptics and to seeking open minds alike. I have here on my shelf a copy of the Gospel of John. It's just the Gospel of John. And I like to give it to people to read, sometimes even to a non-believer, but most definitely to a new Christian. Why? Because I know the transformative effect it will have in that person's life as the Holy Spirit guides the new believer throughout the life of Christ, as written about by this confident disciple and apostle, John. So let me pause here and make sure that you continue with me. I'll reread John chapter 20 and verses 30 to 31, reminding you of my first two insights and adding a third. This is John chapter 20 and verses 30 through 31. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name. First, I have said that John tells us that Jesus did more than is contained or more than is written about by John. So that when you add up everything John has written, it still does not include the full length and depth of Jesus' ministry. Second, the reason John wrote was so that you and I and everyone who reads this gospel may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Clearly, John believed Jesus. And now, John invites the whole world to believe Jesus. And now, here is my third and final insight, again, as applied to confidence. Listen to the end of verse 31. That believing, you may have life in his name. John has so much confidence in Christ. John has received so much confidence from Christ that John confidently tells everyone who reads his book to have life, real, genuine, abundant life. You have got to believe in Jesus. Jesus gives life, and that is to have life in his name. The word life here means both physical and spiritual life. It is the kind of life that is sustained by God's self-existent life. And this is the only kind of life that any of us really want to have. This is really living. To me, only a man like John, who has drawn his confidence from Christ, could write something like this. And when you come back tomorrow, we will continue in John's writing, finding still even more ways that Jesus makes John and Peter, we are going to get back to Peter, confident. Why? Because God is also our confidence. So join me again tomorrow, for God is.